We're in Sefer Chovos HaLevavot and Shaar HaBetochan in Perek Gimel. Hagdama Shlishit. Shivtach al Elokav Levado. Bedevarim Shu Chayav Liftoch Alav. Velo Yishatef Elav Acher. Shlo Yivtach Gam al Hashem Vegam al Echad Abruim. Ki Bezeh Shu Meshatef Elav Et Mishu Acher Hu Ma'abed Et Bitchono Al Elokav. וכבר ידוע מה שנאמר אצל אסא המלך בשעה ששמח על הרופאים, כמו שאמר, גם בחוליו לא דרש את השם, כי ברופאים, שנענש על זה למרות חסידתו. This could not be more relevant. You couldn't find a more relevant piece to read right now. Should a person follow the instruction of the health ministry, this is what it says, or should you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the instruction that's been given here in Chovos HaLevavot is Asa was held accountable for not turning to Hashem, rather he was going to the health ministry. Shne'enash al zeh, lamrot chasiduto. And the Pasuk says, Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach BaHashem, V'ya Hashem Yiftacho. But the Vayaduo hu, she'im mishu memaneh shnei memunim, az ein leminui ze erech. וכל שכן אם מישהו בוטח גם על אלוקים וגם על זולתו שביטחונו יהרס ושביטחון מפוצל זה יהיה סיבה מספקת שימנע ממנו משהו מקווה להשיג. So how are we supposed to relate at this time to health issues trusting in the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this era? Thank you Hashem for arranging this section that we're up to on this day. If someone comes to you and says to you that there's a speed limit that you have to keep, and you have to keep the speed limit. Who made up the speed limit? Who says he knows? I don't know how he knows. I haven't deeply researched this topic. But in any given era, you have to trust the people who are saying the areas which are being said. But what about trusting in Hashem? Part of the way of trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by recognizing in any given era, who are the shalichim that he sent. You trust in your parents, you trust in your rabbeim, because you recognize they are people who are wiser than you in a particular area and they've been appointed to give you guidance. When it comes to health matters, you have to check that the person who's giving you the advice is really not an authority. There are some people who are not authorities and they share opinions. And you have to see, is this valid advice? Is this being given from someone and from a emunah perspective? There is certainly room to go to two different doctors for advice on a serious matter. On a light matter, you don't need to. But there's not a big consequence. But if there's a large consequence, there's a place for it that you shouldn't just take one doctor's advice and start doing major operations. You just say, I've got one professional advice, I'm going to go for another one. Because it's a fact that there are different opinions, there's different shitas within medicine, and there's also some nasoras sometimes which are or not accurate. And therefore having different advice from different doctors can give you a more true relationship to a way to relate to what... So we're now going through a time and there are guidelines being given which are precautionary measures. Then if they're being given without any basis by someone random... Like I remember when our oldest daughter, who was a baby, so I was walking in Ashdod and I was holding her and she didn't have a blanket on. And this old sufta started shouting at me. You're not careful. And I was saying, what's wrong? He goes, she's cold. I said, how do you know she's cold? She said, she's cold. It's cold outside. It's the springtime and it's the winter recently. And so I said, I think she's fine. She's not crying. She seems calm. And in another story, I was once walking outside with her in Keren B'Yavaneh and a stub came up to me. And he said, aren't you worried about your child catching a cold? So I said, no, she's fine. So he said to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very wise. He gives the exact parents the children who need to be given. And for that child, he gives the chokhmah the parent needs. So I was trying to understand what he meant by that. And then I realized he was speaking by Loshon Sagi Nahor. He wasn't saying that it's wise. He was saying it's not wise. But he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each child, the parent, that has their wisdom, their type of wisdom that they need to give for their child. Meaning it's not so wise. I wouldn't do it for my children. But if Hashem gave you this charge, and he gave you some level of intelligence, kind of read, that's what he wants for this child. That must be the way he wants for you to have this child. But I took it very well. I took it in a very healthy way. Because I realized that as long as I'm not being irresponsible, but there is a concept sometimes that the body temperature of a family like runs similar. And it could be that if you're putting clothing on the tiny baby, which is much more than you feel comfortable with, it might not be comfortable for him as well. Maybe. I don't know if that's a good story. But you have to use the logic that makes sense to you in any given scenario. You don't have to take the advice of an old sufta walking down a road in Ashdod. You do have to take advice of professionals. And when it's nationally accepted, there's a precaution to take. Then it's as if that the Kodesh Baruch was saying to you, this is the most logical thing to do in this given situation. And no individual is able to come and say, oh, I think they're being too strict, or I don't think they're being strict enough. It's not your place. You can't say that against someone who's not an authority. You don't have to take everyone's opinion. You don't have to worry about random people's opinions. But when there's an authority, which is no agendas, where they're just taking care of the national health of the people, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word coming down and speaking to you and saying how to relate to this detail of a topic, here I'll give you the most professional advice. So what about Asa? Let's go back to Asa. So here Asa seems to be held accountable. Gam b'cholio lo darashta Hashem ki berofim. Let's see what Daikin says. At the expense of Hashem, he went to doctors. That's the problem. If you see the health ministry giving counsel and giving guidance as the word of Hashem, and that you're taking responsibility and for your health, for other people's health, in the case of the Pikuach HaNefesh with Machal al Shabbos, so you're taking that your and other people's health seriously, and you're seeing that as part of your Avodat Hashem, as part of the will of Hashem, then you're not only not held accountable, but you're fulfilling the concept of Nishmatei Mod Nafshtechem. And the Pasuk says, V'rapo yirapeh. Hashem gave permission for the doctors to heal. It's not considered a problem that you go to the doctor. It's considered permission. Permission. Doctors are allowed to do that. It's part of Hashem's world. And throughout history, many great Rabbanim also functioned as doctors as well. What was the taina on Asa? Lo darashta Hashem ki berofim. When you start seeing as, I don't need to have faith here, I don't need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's not relevant in a sense anymore. You won't say those words, but in the mind is thinking, what does the news say? What did the doctor say? What did the professor say? How much is the distance? This is the distance. Are there 10 people in this room? Are there more? What's happening? And you start getting anxious in respect to the medical rules and not in respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the problem. If you see it as a part of your Avodat Hashem, if you recognize that you're taking normal hishtadlus, natural responsibility, what you need to do in a given situation, then that's part of Avodat Hashem. You're not only not held accountable, that's acting on faith. It's acting on emunah. It's saying, Hashem, this is your world, these are your rules, I'm following your rules, Hashem, this is what you've asked me to do. Once it's at the expense of Hashem, then you're held accountable. Yeah. Loud.
So why are we... I don't know exactly what else.
I didn't encourage it. I told people to go upstairs or to go outside. Only one person listened to me. Is it more than one? Two people listened. Thank you. Yeah. I agree. If there are guidelines given and rules given, you should follow those rules. Look at these two people standing outside of him. Tzaddikim, following the rules. If you hear that, then stand in the window. Take it seriously. I announced when I came in this room that I'm sitting here, condition is not taking, I didn't take condition. I said there shouldn't be 10 people in the room. Some people sit upstairs, some people outside. What? No 10 people. What? I accept what you're saying and I'm encouraging it. I'm not going to cancel the shiur because of that, but I will encourage people to distance down. Hakdama revi'it. Shiyashgiach v'yishtadel mi'od la'asot et ma'asha borei chiev oto. V'shiyavod et avodato. Yekayem et mitzotav. V'yizahar mi'masha asar alav. Kamo shaborei mevakesh emenu. Kedei shaborei yaskim latet lo et ma'asha hu mekaveh. Ovotech la'asig emenu. Kamo shamru chazal. In Pirkei Avos. Atzer etzono keretzoncha. Kedei shiyaseh. רצונך כרצונו. והכתוב אומר, בטח בהשם ועשה טוב, שכן בארץ וראה אמונה. This is a little challenging to understand this piece. Let me just read it again and tell you what I'm bothered by. You should be very careful and put in effort to do the will of Hashem, to serve Hashem, to fulfill His mitzvahs, not to do anything that He forbade. And why should you do that? And this is the strange part now. And why should you do that? In order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will agree to give you what you're hoping for. Is that why we do mitzvahs? Do we do mitzvahs so that we'll get our will fulfilled, that we'll do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, what we want Hashem to do? אבל מי שבוטח על הבורא שימלא את משאלותיו בעוד שהוא ממרא את רצונו, כמה הוא טיפשי, כמה שכלו והכרתו חלשים, שהרי רואה הוא שאם בן אדם ציווה לחברו לעשות לו משהו, או עשה עליו משהו, וחברו עליו על ציוויו, ונודע אותו לאדם שחברו עבר על ציוויו, דבר זה יהיה גורם חזק שאדם יימנע מחברו. I want to discuss this a little bit, because this is very important. If you're in חינוך, and you're a parent, and you have a child, you want that child to do your will. If you come to the child and say, I command you, I command you, I command you, then at a younger age, the child will listen. But as the child gets older, he'll stop listening and stop listening. Because he'll feel, why are you telling me what to do? If the adult, if the parent, if the Rebbe invests in the child, and invests in the child, and gives to the child, I don't mean give meaning, whatever he asks for, you give him. It could be you say no often, but you hear him out and you understand his perspective, you're with him in mindset, and he feels that you care about him and you love him and you've invested in him, then you've filled his emotional bank account. You've filled it, you've filled it, you've filled it, you've filled it. Now, when you come to the child and you say, I think it's appropriate to do such and such, the child will be much more willing to do what you have to say because you're not a controlling, demanding adult. I don't think that Chovat HaRavot here is saying an instruction. The reason why you should do the will of Hashem is so that after you can ask Hashem and He'll give you whatever you want. I think that's what he's saying. If you read the context and the continuation. I think he's saying, don't do the reverse. Don't be makpid on Hashem that He's not answering your prayers and He's not giving you things that you've asked for. Don't be makpid on Him when you haven't invested in Him. Meaning in order for you to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a faith-oriented perspective and say, Hashem, I'm davening to you, Hashem, why aren't you listening, why aren't you going back? So maybe Hashem has other secret reasons why He's doing it, maybe it's your benefit. But if you haven't invested in Hashem, the question doesn't begin. You can't start bitachon in Hashem if you haven't created a relationship. You can expect trust from someone if you've invested in that person. When you've invested in them, you've built and built and built and built and built, now you can expect a mutual relationship, and you can have a faith in that person. When a parent has invested in the child, or let's go the other way around, which is a more appropriate way. If the child behaves well at home, he does the will of his parents, when that child later on grows up, and he asks for something, it could be that some other sibling they'd be more makpid on. And they would say, no. It's against our rule. Let's say it's not a rule, halacha. It's against our rule. But a child they see always agrees to them and always follows their rules. And when their parents see the child hardly ever asks for anything, he's always well behaved and he's always respectful. And that child asks to do something in particular, then the parents will be much more open and willing to say to that child yes. And so another child is always chutzpahdik and saying to the parents, I'm not listening to you, I'm not listening to you. And the parents will have much of a harder time to say yes to that child. So I don't think it's saying here that you should do the mitzvahs in order that Hashem will do your will later on. That's not the reason why we're doing mitzvahs. But I think it is saying, don't start being makpid on Hashem, saying, Hashem, where are you in my hard time? If you haven't invested, if you're always respectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're always hearing Hashem's word and following Hashem's will, then there'll be room for you to have bitachon on Hashem. There's place for you then to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not demand Him. You can never demand anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows much better than you what's good for you. But then you can expect that if it's appropriate that such a thing will happen, you can. And that seems to be the understanding of what he's writing here. V'im kein, im mishu boteach ba'ashem, ba'od shu mamret rutsano, ba'over lachokim ha-mitzvot. If you have a child who's always misbehaving, rebelling against his parents, not willing to hear what they have to say, v'hu lo yeh ra'ui likra boteach belokim, ela yukuyam bo ma'ash amar ha-katuf, and then he brings the pasuk. And this idea of the emotional bank account is very important to understand the concept. Whenever you have a relationship with someone, every interaction that you have with them, you're either investing in the relationship and you're building trust, you're depositing in the emotional bank account, or you're, chas v'shalom, taking a withdrawal. If you invest and invest and invest and invest, then even if chas v'shalom you make a withdrawal here and there, it won't harm. It won't harm. If you have a child and you always speak of them in a beneficial way, in a positive way, in an encouraging way, in a growth-oriented way, in an empathetic way, and then hearing that you set it up and you say something really harsh and rude to the child, and you really undermine their self-confidence. But the ratio is 90 to 10, 80 to 20, but it's like a very overwhelming positive. You've made such a positive investment in them, you've built their emotional bank account so strongly that you should never do it, but if you did it, you can get away with it. Right? It won't harm their growth, it won't harm their relationship, unless it's something really terrible, 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 which is like a fighting statement which they'll recall again and again, but overall you'll get away with it. But if your relationship is criticism, critique, complaining, commanding, arguing, and then here and there you ask them to do something for you, what are the chances? Where have you invested in them? You're withdrawing, 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 and then suddenly you're asking for a favor, it's another withdrawal. Why should you expect them to hear what you have to say? So it works the same way with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're investing in Hashem, and investing in Hashem, and investing in Hashem, investing in Hashem, then when you're going through a rough time, you're going to turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, you don't say it like this, I do so much for you, do me a favor. But it's just a natural way. You've invested, 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 invested. Now you ask something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, oh, there's a chen here. There's a chen. There's a chen, there's a grace. He does so much, he invests so much, he's so obedient, he's so behaved, he speaks so respectfully, I'll give him something. הקדמה חמישית, שיהיה ברור לו כי כל הדברים המתרחשים ומתחדשים בעולם אחר בריאת העולם יוצאים לפועל על ידי שתי דברים, על ידי הבורא יתברך, גזר ורצה שהדברים האלה יתהוו ויהיו למציאות, ועל ידי גורמים ואמצעים, בחלקם קרובים ובחלקם רחוקים, בחלקם גלויים ובחלקם נסתרים, כולם מוציאים לפועל בזריזות את מה שנגזר להתהוות ולהתגלות, כשאלוקים עוזר להם לעשות זאת. וכדי לבאר לך מה הם הגורמים הקרובים והרחוקים, אתן לך דוגמה. מפעל שאיבת מים מבור עמוק. Okay, let's just say what he's saying and then we'll give the mashal. Everything in this world takes place, you don't see the primary cause. You only ever see the final result. You only ever see the annoying, disconnected end result of a long process. But you don't see where it emanates from. We gave this mashal last week, but it's important to understand. When a child explodes and he's rude, if you relate to the way that he's speaking now, you've totally missed the point. There was a lot of emotional build-up behind that beforehand, which came and led to that explosion. Now we only see that final last stage of the explosion. And then if we're superficial, then we'll say, don't speak like that, that's a rude way to speak. You've totally missed what was going on in that child's world that led into that explosion. And then the argument becomes an argument of, should you speak that way? Shouldn't you speak that way? You missed the whole point. The whole point is there's a deeper world behind it. There's an amazing story of Chaim of Brisk, where someone came for tzedakah. And he said to the man, okay, here you go. And he gave him a little bit of money. And the man said to him, Rebbe, is that all you can give me? And according to one version of the story, he even hit Rav Chaim. And Rav Chaim said to him, oh, I'm sorry. And he went and he got much more money and he gave it to him. The Talmidim were in shock. He spoke to you like that, according to the verse, and even hit you, and you're giving him more money? And that's how you're paying him? So Rav Chaim said to him, didn't you see the pain he was in? I know this individual. He would never behave like that. If he gets to the point where he's shouting and he's going to hit the Rebbe, it means that the suffering he's going through is so deep. You didn't see that? The Talmidim didn't see that. So I mean, they only saw the final stage. They only saw the hitting or the shouting. The Rav Chaim, with his depth that emanated from Torah and penetrated human understanding, he said if he's doing such an act, it means that he's going through such emotional suffering, he's probably hitting himself much more than I would be upset with him about having done that. I'm sure later he'll come and apologize, or maybe he'll be in denial that he did it because he'll be so embarrassed by it. I don't know. But if he's suffering so much to come to that, you have to help him. Look what he's going through. When we see events taking place in the world, And we get caught up on the end result, and we get frustrated and annoyed, and we complain. It's totally missing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan that goes way, 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 way back, which we can't always see. We can't always understand. Rav Chaim didn't see what that man was going through. He just saw that he was going through something. And he didn't respond to the first cause. He responded to the end result. Meaning the guy asked for money and he gave him money. But what caused Rav Chaim to jump up and help? He said, I know there's more depth here. I know there's a bigger story. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world in a way which we don't understand. A wrong response is to complain and get annoyed and frustrated when you're only looking at the end result. It's impossible to say, I know this isn't happening because the woman's cycle isn't long enough, and if she cuts an extra inch, then everything will be okay. You can't tag specific things. You can guess. Things are logical. But you can never say that's the reason it happened. You can take on things and say, well, it's got to do with washing hands, I'll be more makpid on washing my hands down the amut from my bed. You can say, well, it's got to do with not touching other people, I'll be more makpid on relationships with the opposite gender. You can think of things. There are ideas you can come to. But that's not the reason why it happened. You never said, why did it happen? I have no idea what happened. What I know is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing a big thing to take place in the world, there's a lot going on. What is it exactly? I don't know. I'm only going to look at the end result. The end result means there's less Torah being learned in the world. I have to make sure that I'm mechazik my learning of Torah. The end result means there's guidelines being given. I have to keep those guidelines. The end result means there are people who are going through an emotional difficulty about feeling separate. I'm going to make more phone calls, reaching out to more people who maybe are by themselves and are upset that they're not with other people. I'm going to see in this situation, what do I need to do? I don't know why it's happening. I can guess, but it's a pathetic guess. A finite individual guessing an infinite mind is an impossible thing to do. All I can say is I know that this isn't happening. There's a lot behind it. There's a tremendous movement taking place, and I have to respond to that. How? I'll see my practical. Rav Chaim gave money because that was what practically he saw he needed to do. What the emotional the person was going through, he has no idea. He didn't even ask. He just said, I see you're going through it emotionally. I'll help you in the area that I see. Okay. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us all chizuk. In these times which are more challenging, to find specific areas which we can strengthen. We gave a couple of examples. One major example is the last point that I just said, that for us it's relatively easy, that we're still with each other to some degree, we still have structure to some degree, we're still able to learn Torah to some degree, and with that evil seems to be strengthened. But think of those people who are in a more challenging situation, those people who are locked down in their homes, they're not able to learn with the chavrusa, they're not in a normal structure. Reach out to them, give them words of chizuk, share words of Torah, send them divrei Torah, send them just a message about how everything's going. That's something which now, like a Masorah, is sent out of the camp. The most severe punishment they have in prison is solitary confinement. And that what's happening now is most challenging. All the time throughout the years when Jews went through difficulties, they stuck together. The idea of the ghetto was a curse, but it was a blessing. It kept all of Am Yisrael together. We were all in this together. What's happening right now is a curse in the sense that we're being divided from one another. And that's extremely challenging. So as well as the other chizukim we're giving ourselves of making sure we're continuing Sidorim, anyone who's leaving any area of structure, before you leave, create your own structure. Whether you do it with other people, by having a chavrusa, even if it's over the phone, whether you have it with fixed things you're going to listen to or fixed things you're going to learn, I recommend doing chazorah, things you've already learned, and making some schedule that's going to keep you going all the way through Pesach, having fixed areas of halacha you're going to learn, fixed areas of musa you're going to learn, fixed areas of Gemara, Chazor you're going to learn, and preferably also something new in Gemara you're going to learn as well. Arrange it with Chavrusas. If you're going to be back in wherever you come from, you can make it with like younger guys as well. They're also out of schedule that they're doing school online to some degree, but they're totally without their friends, without someone. An older person comes and says to them, let's learn the Chavrusa. You can give Chizuk to a kid who like is getting into his learning and needs someone else to reach out to him. There's many, many opportunities now to do a lot of good and a lot of chesed, and that will, both from a Torah perspective and also from an emotional perspective, keep us strong in these hard times.